ते केळत्या नौशे दार पुण्या वाटेन बागेली किनार.
वेलकम to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS Community Radio for Columbus. I'm your host, Green Chucks. Hey, it's youth time, or Youth Beat Radio time. I don't think I've ever told you this, but the reason I call myself Green Chucks rather than another color Chucks is because I am passionate about keeping our country, our world, our environment green. Fresh, clean, and healthy green. It's a good thing Youth Beat Radio supports me on this. On today's show, I will be playing my all-time favorite environmental segments. I have picked 7 pieces. These segments cover topics such as trash, the green movement, the oil spill in the Gulf, a Wexner Center environmental art class, composting, How to Be American, the Fat and Pollution Way, and surprise! You'll have to wait to find out! First up is my 7th pick, by Audrey Dennehy, a student at Upper Arlington High School. Her piece is on the oil spill in the Gulf. I picked this piece because she chose to be positive about a very negative situation.
The crude has stopped gushing and coastlines are largely clear of the thick goo that washed ashore months ago, but the impact of the worst offshore oil spill in U.S. history will no doubt linger for many more years. 6 months after the April 20th Deepwater Horizon explosion, the environment and economy of the entire northern Gulf of Mexico region remains in a state of uncertainty and recovery, especially the 400 wildlife species that were threatened by this spill. Threatened species include sea life such as whales, tuna, and shrimp, dozens of species of birds, and even land animals such as the gray fox and white-tailed deer. The government has reopened about 90% of the Gulf federal waters to fishing and says all seafood caught in the newly opened areas is safe to eat. Yet the commercial fishing industry remains in turmoil, suffering from an acute image problem. Since July 15th, no new oil has flowed into the Gulf of Mexico. No volumes of oily liquid have been recovered since July 21st, and the last controlled burn operation occurred on July 20th, 2010. But oil is still buried in the sand on beaches across the coast, and crude continues to plague some of Louisiana's shores. This mess is not over, and if you are still wanting to get involved in the cleanup process, you can go to the website getinvolved.gov and find out what you can do to help. Thank you for listening.
You know what is unique about this story? She ended it in a positive note. Now, if only our local news stations could do this. Hint, hint. All right, my number 6 pick is by Philomena, another student from Upper Arlington, who will be talking about the green movement. I picked this piece because she didn't sing. That's just a joke. No, I really picked this piece because she provides outstanding arguments on why people should go green.
Think back when you were little. I'm talking about when you were 5 or 6. You're riding in the back of your mom's car listening to your favorite cassette tape. You know all the words to all the songs, mainly because every other verse is repeated throughout the whole song. But I want you all to remember one certain tune that I guarantee you've heard at least once. I Got the Whole World in My Hands. Remember that one?
He's got the whole world in his hands.
I'm not much of a singer. I would attempt to sing the tune for you guys, but I'm not even going to. Well, anyways, my point is that when we were riding in the back seats of our mom's cars, this song really had no meaning to us. There was no way we could have the whole world in our hands. We didn't even care what the words meant. We just liked the tune. But nowadays, if we listen to this song, it might just have a little more impact. You're probably thinking, how in the world could this song influence me today? But it's true. The truth is that every single thing that we do has an impact on the planet, both good and bad. And as an individual, you have the power in your hands to control the impact you create. That's a lot of power, isn't it? However, when you have that power, you're forced to make decisions. And here's one that you should be thinking about, going green. a matter that is brought up constantly dealing with our environment. All of a sudden, making environmentally beneficial decisions isn't something we can push aside any longer. It's necessary. Making better decisions today will not only help you, but also your grandchildren and their children. So why wait? When the idea was first presented, many considered green a lifestyle choice adopted by the tree huggers. But today, it has become a mainstream feature of products and services. I know when I first heard the idea of going green, the first thought that came to me was this must be another way to save the rainforest or something. But living a greener lifestyle isn't just about helping out the rainforest. It can also mean improving your health, saving money, and improving overall quality of life. So don't you think this is a decision worth thinking about? My goal isn't to push the idea of going green on you, but just to inform you about it. It happens to be a big trend in society today. And get this, it doesn't even take that much work. I looked up some ways to go green on the computer, and it gave me these results. Wash clothes in cold water whenever possible. As much as 85% of energy used to machine wash clothes goes to heating the water. Take shorter showers to reduce water use. Walk or bike to school or work, and use a water filter to purify water instead of buying bottled water. All these things are easy to do. And think, if you walk or bike somewhere once in a while, there's money in your pocket you didn't have to spend on gas. If you take shorter showers, your water bill will be lower. And bottled water is expensive, so drink from the water fountain, and it will result in a lower amount of container waste. A plus for you, too. So next time you finish your Propel or Gatorade after practice, try recycling your bottle, going home and washing your sweaty clothes in cold water, then after dinner, going on a walk. And then pat yourself on the back. You helped out the environment without that much effort.
I totally sang that song when I was little. He's got the whole world in his hand. We got the whole world in our hands. Of course, I sing it much better now, right? Okay, my fifth pick is by Andrea Chu, a student at Ohio State University, who wrote about her favorite art class in high school. I nominated this piece as my fifth all-time favorite environmental segment because this class empowers youth to be conscious about waste and consumption.
Hi, my name is Andrea Chu, and I'm finishing my freshman year at OSU, and I'll be telling you about my experience with the Wexner Center's Art and Environment program. I first heard about the Art and Environment program at the Wexner Center through an email my mother had forwarded to me. I was thrilled to apply for it because it seemed to encompass two things that I really loved. It was focused on environmental concerns and linking those concerns with the art world, both of which I really had a strong interest in. I had taken environmental science my sophomore year in high school and had taken art classes since I was very young. So to be able to do a program in which both of those things were integrated was really something new and appealing, since the two never seemed to meet before. During the second semester of my junior year, I enrolled in the Wexner Center's Art and Environment class. Each week, I took an afternoon off of school to drive down to Ohio State University's Wexner Center to participate in the program. It made me a little nervous to do something like that, but it was also very exciting and something I really wanted to be a part of. I was the only one from my area that was in it, but my teachers and school administration were all very supportive and helped me out a lot. Over the course of the class, we were to read from two books that we were provided with, Massive Change by Bruce Mau and Oryx and Crake by Margaret Atwood. We were also given a sketchbook. We kept ideas in it, wrote notes, and used them as creative springboards for different projects we were to do. Students were also required to write a proposal for a final art piece. We also went on field trips, watched documentaries, and met with different artists and did all kinds of fun stuff. It was a really great program because some of my fellow students had really strong art backgrounds, others had strengths in social issues, and others like me were really more familiar with the science part. Since we all came from different schools and backgrounds, it was really cool to see all of us interested in the same thing, the environment. My final art piece was a painting on waste and consumption. I'd always found garbage really fascinating, and I really had an awareness for it, even as a kid. I painted a landscape with municipal waste in a degraded ecosystem with a cityscape in the background. It was done with acrylic paint, and I saved all the water that I used during the process and attached all of the actual trash that I had generated during the making of the piece. I had paper towels, candy wrappers, plastic patching, my paint and brushes came in, all attached to my canvas. I really wanted the painting to include all of the elements so that it wasn't just a painting, but represented the trash of the art world and how artists consume their resources. I loved how the program combined science and art. Environmentalism is such an interdisciplinary thing that it's so important to include people from all different fields. You need chemists, ecologists, biologists, designers, artists, engineers, public relations, educators, and policymakers, and everything in between. Getting a city to become sustainable cannot be done without them. Even now in college, I try and incorporate as many disciplines as I can into my education. My major now is environmental science, but I also want a minor in art. Art and Environment was a really great program and can really foster an interest in both the arts and science for anyone. I'm not sure any of those kids will really end up being an environmental science or an environmentally oriented artist, but sure they will all have a better awareness of the issues, which is really the goal in the end.
I totally regret not knowing about this class.
Solution. Take an art class at Columbus State Community College, where I am currently going, and make sure to incorporate my beliefs and passions into the class. You know, Andrea's final project gives me an idea of what I can do and how I can incorporate going green into my art class. Save and create at the same time. Okay, my fourth favorite environmental segment is the Trash Report by Lauren Colbert, a student at DeSales High School. She did a trash audit. I picked this one because it rocks. And she's helping students become aware of how much they waste.
Hi, my name is Lauren Colbert, and I'm president of the Environmental Club for DeSales High School. As a club, we do a lot around the school to raise awareness to the students. In one of our most recent projects, DeSales was approached by a company called Yinkin Majestic. This company is trying to head up a new environmental project with local companies and schools. Instead of throwing each school day's waste in landfills, which is harmful to the environment, they would take our waste and turn it into energy to produce power. So we were asked to do a trash audit, or weigh the trash, of one regular school day. In the cafeteria, we estimated that about 50 pounds of plastic bottles are thrown away each day. But keep in mind this is just an estimate and some bottles still contain liquids. Even so, this fact is astonishing that people will not walk an extra 5 feet to the recycling bin. That's around 250 pounds of plastic bottles a week thrown away. This just doesn't happen in my school, but schools and companies all across the country. I feel that people are focused on the right now, and they don't feel that the little things they do make a difference. But it does. Every little thing helps, so take action today for a better tomorrow.
It is astonishing at how much people throw away. Can you imagine multiplying that by 10,000, 20,000, 100,000? I mean, can you think of all the schools in the United States? Whoo-wee. I hope the people listening today take notice about how much they throw away. Let's hope that people are becoming more aware of how much they consume and waste. My third favorite environmental segment is Audubon by Jimmy Cruz. I chose Jimmy's piece because I love birds. I love them! And the fact that Audubon provides camps and classes for all Central Ohio students, none excluded.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird is a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a winner, well, a bird, bird.
And now, yours truly will be reporting on the things greater in life. Nature, conservation, and birds. The National Audubon Society, as Columbus Audubon Board member Joseph Mara says, is a non-profit environmental organization dedicated to conserving and restoring natural ecosystems with a focus on birds and other wildlife for the benefit of humanity. During the 1960s, Audubon drafted and circulated state legislation to establish pesticide control groups. The famous book, Silent Spring, was written by Rachel Carson, a longtime Audubon member. In the 1970s, Audubon became involved in developing new environmental protection policies and helped legislatures to pass the Clean Air, Clean Water, Wild and Scenic Rivers, and Endangered Species Acts. There are Audubon chapters throughout the United States. However, Columbus is a complicated case because we not only have a Columbus chapter, we also have a national center, the Grange Insurance Audubon Center. The Grange Insurance Audubon Center is run by the National Audubon Society, but is supported by the Columbus chapter. Some group activities that the Columbus chapter offer are avid birders, which take long trips to local parks to birdwatch. Another activity is the Eco Weekend, which was held this past weekend at Camp Odiaqua in the stunning Hocking Hills. It is a nature retreat for singles, couples, and families. The retreat includes instructions and excursions on a range of subjects like wild animals and wildflowers, bugs, arts and crafts, water sports, winged flights, and trees. If you are not already aware, the Grange Insurance Audubon Center is located on the Whittier Peninsula, just south of downtown. The center provides educational services to a variety of adults and youth of Central Ohio, including Columbus Public Schools. The center works to increase environmental awareness through education that is designed to improve the academic performances of students. The center includes 3 classrooms, native plant demonstration gardens, natural playground area, habitat areas, a library, a 200-seated multipurpose room, a temporary and permanent exhibit, nature stores, and an outdoor observation deck and terrace with bird feeders. Also, if you are interested in becoming an Audubon member, please contact Joseph Mira at 614-430-9127.
I love the opening song for this piece. You know, my nickname in grade school was Bird. Okay, we are getting down to the wire. 2 more to go. My number 2 pick is by Tessa Horan, an 8th grader from Indiana. Her piece is on how to be American. It makes me want to go green and laugh at the same time.
So you're moving to the United States. Good choice. I'm sure it's an overwhelming change. There's tons of things to learn about. History, culture, language. So let me help you out there. The first step to fitting into America is simple. Learning how to pollute. That's right. The U.S. is infamous for destroying the environment. The most important thing to know when moving here is how to disrespect, damage, and trash every piece of nature you come across. How, you ask? Having lived in America my whole life, I'm practically an expert on the subject. I've broken it down for you in 5 easy parts. Step 1. Get a car. The first and most vital step of being unenvironmentally friendly is buying a car. Every vehicle on the road emits carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, causing sickly amounts of smog and pollution. Though some newer models have been designed as fuel-efficient or electric in an attempt to create a healthier planet, those cars are totally European. To be an American, you must have something big and bold that gets 2 miles per gallon. The more fuel you use, the better. And don't forget to drive your car everywhere. Walking, biking, and taking the bus are really old-fashioned methods of transportation. Besides, you might actually get some exercise if you walk, and heaven forbid that ever happened. Obesity is America's 2nd biggest trend, you know. Step 2. Overuse electronics. Now that you have your biggest source of damage, the car, it's time to move on to the smaller things. Electronic devices also hurt the environment, believe it or not, so you'll want to use them as much as possible. Keep your lights on, turn the heater up, or AC, and even run your washer or dryer longer than necessary. All those things result in the excess use of energy, meaning you've been wasteful. Good job! Those are some of the big ones. But you can also do little things too, such as never turning off your cell phone and keeping your computer running, even when you're not using it. Also, be sure to use inefficient devices. Don't buy any products that claim to be eco-friendly or green. You'll see a lot of that advertised on cleaning supplies. So keep an eye out when buying counter sprays and carpet cleaners. Lastly, your washer and dryer should use as much water as possible. Just have some common sense here. Don't buy the one that says water saver in big red letters on the tag. Duh. Step 3. Litter. Once you've filled your new life with modern machinery, the next step is simple. Don't recycle. Just throw all your junk in the trash, or better yet, in the street. Is there an ocean near your house? Dump your plastic bottles there. Not only will you succeed in polluting the sea, but it's likely that your leftover cans will cause death for at least a couple of fish. Littering is a huge cause of pollution. And it's so easy. It not only saves you the time of finding a trash can, but also the money spent on garbage bags. I mean, why would you waste your time taking those extra 10 steps to that empty green recycling bin when you could drop that McDonald's wrapper on the ground and choke a bird? Why would you spend $5 a month and throw away your trash when you could just chuck it out the window and kill some wildlife? Even a total idiot can see the logic there. Step 4. Cut down trees. Trees are like nature's recycling bin. They suck pollution right out of the air and turn into clean, fresh oxygen. That's why you need to get rid of all of them. That's right, all of them. Fewer trees mean more smog, and more smog means a less healthy earth. If there is any kind of greenery in your yard, destroy it. Immediately. Grab an axe and start hacking away. Or if you prefer not to mess with all that grooming business, try using weed killer. Fill a huge spray bottle with the stuff and squirt nonstop for 10 minutes. Keep it up until all your trees have shriveled up and died. Don't forget about the bushes. Spare nothing. Flowers must be destroyed. Shrubs must be cut. Trees must be annihilated. With any luck, you might even take out a bird's nest or a squirrel's home in the process. Chopping up your yard takes a long time, so get started. Step 5. Spread the word. The last thing you need to do is tell everyone you know about the ideas from this show. If everyone gets on the plan to kill the earth, we can have it done in no time. Writing letters to major business owners or political officials is also a surefire way to get the word out. You'll be well on your way to starting a worldwide movement. Encourage construction, protest eco-friendly movements, and then sit back and watch the world go up in flames.
Congratulations!
Now you've come one step closer to being a true American citizen.
Congratulations and celebrate.
Don't forget, if you get a car, overuse electronics, litter, cut down trees, and spread the word, you'll be fitting in right away. Just remember, expand, increase, and most importantly, don't recycle.
The flower said, I wish I was a tree. The tree said, I wish I could be a different kind of tree. The cat wished that...
Tessa, you have a gift. I love you. All right. My time is coming to an end. It's time to reveal my number one favorite environmental segment of all time. Drum roll, please. Compost by Harrison Sidnor. The reason why I chose this piece as my favorite is because he taught me a new skill, how to compost. With his help, I was able to start my own compost pile in my house. Although my mom does not appreciate the smell, the environment appreciates me reusing things I throw out. Thank you, Sidnor, for helping me to live my green dream. Here is my favorite environmental segment, Compost, by Ohio State University student Harrison Sidnor.
Hello, I'm Harrison Sidnor, a student at The Ohio State University, and I will be your host for Green Beans this week. Do you want a cheap, easy, environmentally friendly way to give your plants a boost? If you said yes to any of that, you may want to try making your own compost. To start composting, all you need is an area for your compost pile. But you may want to buy a composter from your local garden center or hardware store, especially if you live in an urban area, because compost does not smell particularly good. So what is compost? Compost is literally decomposing organic materials. that are used to reinvigorate the soil and your plants. So once you've set aside your area for your compost pile or your composter, all you need to do is put organic waste on the pile. Most people who compost put any type of vegetable or fruit scraps like orange peels or rotten lettuce from their kitchen. You may want to avoid using meat and fish scraps, as this can make your compost pile smell worse and may attract animals. There is no reason to relegate yourself to only using kitchen waste on your compost pile. Why not throw your grass clippings on the pile rather than bagging them up and paying to have them taken away? And the same goes for your autumn leaves and other plant-based yard waste. If possible, try to rip or cut up the materials you'll be composting into small pieces, as this will help speed up the decomposition process. You may also want to turn your pile so the material on top gets put in the center and vice versa. This will help aerate the pile and keep the entire pile decomposing at a consistent rate. After a few months, you will have a dark, soft, peat-like substance. This decomposed plant material is full of nutrients and minerals, broken down in a manner that is easy for your plants to absorb. So once you have compost, how do you use it? Just spread about a half inch around the base of your plants, or till it into your soil where you plant. You can even add it to your potting soil for your house plants. Composting is great for the environment as well. It will cut down the amount of waste you send to a landfill, where it will remain trapped in a white plastic tomb for hundreds of years. Also, it helps return minerals and nutrients locked within these materials back to the earth faster. It can also help prevent erosion. So get the old rotten tomato out of your refrigerator and into a compost pile. Thank you, and this has been Harrison Sidnor.
All right, everyone. I hope your favorite color is green now after this show. Before I finish, though, I want to say that this show is dedicated to Youth Beat Radio's executive producer, Dr. Christy Lakeys, an associate professor at The Ohio State University. She is the queen of green. Well, this wraps up my time this week. This is Green Chucks, signing off. Please tune in next week for another edition of Youth Beat Radio. Youthbeat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio universities, high schools, and youth organizations. It is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the show do not necessarily represent those of the station or the sponsors. For more information, check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or Facebook, or email us at youthbeat@osu.edu.